What is up, everybody? Welcome back into another edition of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. My name is Herms, joined as always by my good friend, Tyler O, the most accurate fantasy football ranker in the business in 2024. I mentioned that because A, it's important, and B, we are continuing our rankings discussion, going back and forth, talking about some players that we have a little bit of differences on in our individual draft rankings. We are going to be talking about the position of quarterback today. If you want to go back and listen to the last episode, we sort of talk about our processes and then we get into the running back position. I think it's going to be important for you to check out that episode before continuing. Not entirely necessary, but I think it would be a good idea. Now, before we get into our quarterback discussion, Tyler, how you doing? You feeling good about this?
Feeling great, man. Got a couple redrafts done, did the home league last Sunday, got some on the horizon. Football is here. College football is here. Life is good. Let's rip.
Absolutely, my man. I was able to finally schedule my, I have my main home league and then I have another one with some other local buddies and stuff too. That finally just got scheduled. Herms is ready for the draft season. You are ready for the draft season. And now it's time to help get our listeners ready by expanding into our rankings conversation, starting with the quarterback position. Now, I do believe throughout this entire series, we're going to do wide receivers next. Like I said, we've already done running backs. There's a decent chance this one might be one of the biggest differences we have between us. And I'm very curious to see where we are at in terms of Patrick Mahomes. I think you've heard of him, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback, couple MVPs, couple Super Bowls. You might know who he is. Arguably the most talented quarterback in the NFL, but for fantasy, it's been a little bit of a different story. You have him at QB6. I'm a little bit more pessimistic at QB13. I am curious, what do you think the Chiefs offense is going to look like this year that can get Patrick Mahomes to that high of a level? Because he's done it before. Like, it's unprecedented.
That's, you know? I mean, that's basically the crux of the argument, Herms, is, you know, throwing out 2017 when he wasn't a starter, just to let you know, like, from those last, 7 years, QB1, QB7, QB4, QB4, QB1, QB8, he's been a top eight quarterback every single year but last year, where he finished QB11. Things were a little bit different last year. I am going about it as if last year is the exception and not the rule. I'm looking at, you know, the seven of the last 8 years and saying, like, damn, this dude is one of the best quarterbacks in football. This offense can absolutely get humming. Things didn't go that well last year for him. Totally understand that. We can look at, you know, I'm not going to get into the reasons why that could have happened, but I think there's a return to form. I think the Chiefs are in a position where they're going to have to pass more. I think they're going to have to rely on Mahomes. There's a lot of little moving pieces here. Like, Hollywood looks like he's healthy. I like Worthy. We'll get into that at another time. Kelsey is getting older. Rashee Rice is going to miss probably at least half the season. So, like, I totally get the question marks here. But for me, it's just, I believe Mahomes can overcome. I know it didn't look like he could overcome last season, but I'm really just looking to, you know, 2018 through 2023 of, like, this is the dude. And he is the dude. He is the guy. I trust Mahomes. And it doesn't feel right for me to rank him any lower than this. And I think one of the things I also want to point out before I open it up to you for the counter is, you know, I view the top tier as the top five. Like, Mahomes starts the second tier. There's the top tier guys for me at the quarterback position. And typically when we see Jaden Daniels, Lamar Jackson, Hurts, Allen, and Burrow go, I wait because I think there's a larger second tier of quarterbacks here. So I'm not necessarily chomping at the bit to draft Mahomes right after Joe Burrow or Jalen Hurts go. Like, don't get me wrong, there's a larger gap here for me in super flex and redraft. But for me, to start the second tier off, I'm looking at Mahomes' whole body of work here, and I'm like, they're going to return to form, and last year was just a blip on the radar, and we can trust him as a quarterback in our 1QB leagues.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a part of me, I will admit, I'm dinging him a little bit just because of the whole Rashee Rice maybe not being around for the latter half of the season, which, you know, I'll get into a little bit more as I, you know, get into some of my reasons. But, like, if I were to do it a little bit more objectively, I could definitely get Mahomes into my top 12 very easily. But I'm penalizing him a little bit and keeping him at 13 for that Rashee Rice reason. But also, just if we look at the past couple seasons specifically, their verticality and just downfield passing game just hasn't really been that much of a thing. So, I mean, the Mahomes year a couple seasons ago where he won the MVP, had his most passing yards, it was, you know, absolutely ridiculous. They've kind of just gone down a little bit with that. Now, the potency of the offense is still there. They've been top 12 in pass offense DVOA in 2023 and 2024. But, you know, the explosive play rate, for example, they finished 23rd in 2023, 28th in 2024. The deep throw rate also definitely smaller. They finished 28th two seasons ago in that metric, 29th last year at just 8.3%. The air yards per game, it correlates directly to that, so I'm not going to say more numbers. But, like, that's kind of my thing. And I'm just worried that, like, if Rashee Rice isn't going to be around, right, we are going to need Patrick Mahomes to be Patrick Mahomes in the later part of the fantasy season into the playoffs. And is Travis Kelce enough to distract in that intermediate level of the field for them to be able to just push vertically and get those big plays, get more of those air yards, and do more of those things for Mahomes to score some of those touchdown totals and get those big yardage that turns into fantasy points? Like, that's kind of my big thing. It ties into a little bit of a receiver we're going to talk about in our next episode being able to step up potentially, but, like, that is just my hesitation. I get that they're probably going to have to rely on Mahomes more, but I'm just nervous if they're going to be able to pull it off with the available personnel if Rashee Rice is going to be out for this critical part of the season.
It's fair, man. I just I understand what you're saying. I will rank Mahomes as I believe he's the best. I will say it again. I think he's the best quarterback in the NFL. Like, truly, it's like a quarterback who plays football on his team. I hear your argument. I'm still not budging off that QB6.
I get it, dude. And, you know, and we'll talk about, you know, I'll say the name, Xavier Worthy. We're going to talk about him in the next episode. He's kind of a linchpin reason for me why this might be, you know, I might be wrong on this. I will admit I might be wrong on this. We'll get into more of that discussion when we talk about the receivers, though. So we'll put a pin in that for now, and we'll move on to our first commercial break. Once we, you know, come back, settle down a little bit, we will get into our second half with talk about Dak Prescott. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, hey, it's Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes podcast. Football season is right around the corner, and there's no better way to lock in your fantasy dominance early than with Best Ball on DraftKings, where you draft once and ride your roster all season long. And right now, DraftKings is giving all customers a can't-miss offer. Draft one, get one. Enter a lineup in the $15 million Best Ball contest for just $20, and you'll score another Best Ball ticket to play free for a share of $15 million, giving you a second shot to win big. It's easy. Just draft your team once, no weekly management required, and let your top scorers automatically start each week. Across the whole season, every breakout star, every clutch play, every touchdown will count toward your quest for a share of $15 million. You want to start your draft with Ja'Marr Chase and come back around with Joe Burrow? Get yourself a nice little Bengals stack? You definitely can. You want to try to play the ADP a little bit and scoop some value on rookies? You could definitely build your roster that way. You could do anything you want in this $15 million best ball contest. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now to draft your $20 best ball lineup to play for a share of $15 million. And get a second ticket to play free for a share of $15 million. That's two chances to win big without ever setting your lineup again. Draft one, get one. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per customer. Enter the Best Ball $15 million headliner contest by September 4th, 2025 to get one bonus entry. $20 entry fee required. Reward expires in 30 days. See terms at DraftKings.com/NFL-best-ball. Sponsored by DraftKings.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. I am still Herms. He is still Tyler O. And we are still talking about our quarterback rankings for the 2025 season. A couple guys that we are, you know, honestly, like, we're all pretty close on these players. We're getting a little nitpicky, opening it up so that we can have some fun conversations about these different team situations and some of the reasons why. Now, this next player we're going to talk about is somebody, you know, again, we're pretty close on this one. I have Dak Prescott at QB7. You have him at QB12. Like, we're kind of talking basically the same tier. We're kind of talking basically the same thing. But I'm just curious why you are a little bit lower on him.
Dude, I don't even have a good reason, dude, because I love Dak Prescott. Yeah. I mean, I've been a fan of his for so long. And when I saw, like, you bring this up and, you know, kind of show me what we're going to be talking about, I'm like, I don't even hate your rank, man. I love your rank. Like, I draft Dak Prescott all the time. For me, it's just, like, this is kind of, like, where he goes in drafts. So, like, I think I'm a little bit ahead of where – it depends what ADP you're looking at. But that 12th rank is designed to just be a little bit ahead of ADP. So, I'll have an opportunity to grab it, right? So, for me, it's more of, like, telling people who see my ranks and see Dak, like, I'm a little ahead. Feel free to grab Dak. I like Dak. He's kind of like, if you're in a one QB league, you take him super late. Certainly have no problem rolling him out there in super flex. I prefer to have him. But listen, I mean, Dak's numbers speak for themselves. Everyone loves to hate on Dak Prescott. It's just, I mean, it's a Dallas Cowboys thing for sure. Totally understand that. But I mean, any time that he's played a full season, he's been a top 10 quarterback. And if you remove, like, you know, his first couple of years, like, let's just say 2019 and on, anytime he's played a full season, he's been a top 8 quarterback. He has a top 2, he has a 2 overall finish, a 3 overall finish. And they're going to sling the hell out of the rock, man, because they got no one to run the football in Dallas. So obviously there's a little more suspect on the offensive line play than what he's used to. I think part of that's kind of baked in for me is, like, he has been putting up these numbers with an elite offensive line, and it's not that way anymore. But also, he probably has the best, maybe not best receiver. He's had the best receiving duo he's had in a long time. I can't remember who he's thrown to in 2016 or 2017, so I don't want to do him any disservice here. But it's one of the Pickens and CeeDee Lamb is probably one of the best duos he's had in a long time. They're going to have to throw the rock. I know they're going to find themselves in a position where they're going to have to throw the ball more. We've seen him succeed before. I believe Schottenheimer is the OC there. Is that correct?
That is correct. And I know people. Yeah.
I was saying he's had success with Schottenheimer before. Say what you want about the guy. I'm not saying he's a great OC, but we've seen Dak Prescott do well with Schottenheimer, and that's really what I'm talking about. I'm not worried about it like some people are. So for me, I actually like your rank. I appreciate its aggressiveness as somebody who is a Dak Prescott fan. For me, it's just like a little rich as there's a couple guys that I kind of wanted to put ahead of him, you know, kind of like the Bo Nixes. I've been really vocal about Justin Fields. But like I have Baker Mayfield at 10 and Dak Prescott at 12. And like I, you know, where they go, I take Dak Prescott almost every time over Baker Mayfield, just because I expect some regression coming from Baker's side of things. So I do respect your aggressive rank. I do think it's a little aggressive because you don't have to rank him that high to get him where they're at. And I also think that opens up a whole can of why do we rank players where they go? Like for me, it's like, well, I don't need to rank him at 8 because I can rank him at 12 and still get him all the time. But I respect the rank. I like Dak Prescott. I think it's a little aggressive, but certainly think it's well within the range of outcomes, and I think both of us would be very happy to have Dak Prescott in our fantasy teams.
No, absolutely. You know, and it's like I said in our last episode, kind of explaining our processes, like, you know, Herms is a YOLO ball ranker. Like, I'm going with what I think is going to happen. And I just happen to be very excited about this Dallas Cowboys offense, you know, for all of the reasons you said. And also one of the things I was going to mention before I accidentally and almost very rudely interrupted you. I always apologize when I do that. But Brian Schottenheimer was the offensive coordinator last time Dak had a full season and had one of these big finishes. Because, like, I know people are going to say, like, oh, well, a lot of that was with Kellen Moore. It's different now, blah, blah. I get that. But yeah, guys, 2023, Brian Schottenheimer was already the OC. But like, yeah, dude, Pickens and CD, it's going to be awesome. I also believe, like, they are going to have to throw so much to the backfield for that to just be the extension of their run game that's just not there. So, like, not only am I excited about Dak Prescott, but I do believe that there is some interesting PPR upside from this backfield. But, like, the only reason I don't have Jaden Blue ranked higher is because he got hurt a little bit in camp. But, like, I saw a blurb earlier. I think he's probably going to be healthy enough for this, you know, upcoming preseason game they're going to have. This is going to come out before they play that game. So, like, if he just goes out there and does his thing and he ends up with that role, like, I think that could be super fun. So there you go. That's a bonus fantasy take. I know that you also have Jaden Blue ranked pretty high as well. So, hey, you know, it's not just about Dak. I think there's some really interesting things going on with the backfield as well. So unless you have any other thoughts on the Dallas Cowboys situation or whatever, I think we're getting into a fun one. This is it's a little bit of a spicy meatball take from Herms. I'll kind of save my, you know, big barrage for a little bit, but I am curious as to why I get it to an extent. We didn't see JJ McCarthy play football last year. The Minnesota Vikings, his second year in the league this year, he had that, you know, knee surgery situation. We saw Sam Darnold, you know, but you have JJ McCarthy ranked at QB 20. What are some of your expectations for McCarthy in this first, you know, essentially rookie year of his career the Vikings?
Yeah. I think JJ McCarthy is probably one of my scariest fades of the season. I will admit that pretty freely. Is it somebody I've been vocally fading for a while? I have almost zero of JJ McCarthy, and I do not plan on drafting him because I am ranked at 20. Right, and I will agree that it's scary, as we've not really seen any sample size that matters for JJ McCarthy. But like in the small sample size, like things have been generally pretty good. Like I will give him that credit, and we can't discount that this is an offense that is quite easy to succeed in. I think a lot of questions will be answered about how we perceive the quarterback play with the Vikings this year, because now we get to see, how does Darnold do on the Seahawks? Was it Darnold? Was it not Darnold? Does he flop? And does JJ McCarthy absolutely rip? Is it the system? I mean, it's a great system, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's amazing for a quarterback to succeed in, regardless of the weapons, just the way that they call plays and play football. I mean, truly. And then you add the weapons into it, and damn, man, it's tough to get away from. But I think for me, when I just look at this whole situation where I'm at with things, is I've just been skeptical. I watched him. I'm, you know, born and raised right outside Ann Arbor. Watched a lot of Michigan games. There was nothing really that impressive about him when I watched him throughout his college career, right? There's nothing where I'm like, damn, this is going to be a dude in the NFL. Didn't need his arm to win, right? The Wolverines were a dominant run game, elite defense. He was a game manager. He was fine, right? He just didn't make mistakes. And that's important as a quarterback. Don't get me wrong. It's very important to be a quarterback that doesn't make mistakes. But for me, it's just, man, my eyes have deceived me before, and they could be deceiving me now, but I've never really seen it where I'm like, this is the future of the NFL. Saw some people being like, oh my God, this guy looks like Joe Burrow back there. I'm like, Jesus Christ. It's just a little too rich for me, man. Like the expectations are too high to me. I think people's expectations with JJ McCarthy are just way too high right now. Sky high right now. I have no problem taking him as like, yeah, he's like a quarterback too. Like your 14 is probably a little high for me. I think there's some players that like, if you're like, oh, I want to take JJ McCarthy, I want to take a shot over, you know, over him, over Jordan Love. Sure. Like, I don't mind that. CJ Stroud, I got concerns. Sure. Tua, certainly. Even Jared Goff, like I love Jared Goff, I'm a Lions fan, but I'm like, you know, if there's regression there, he's not running. So it's a range of quarterbacks where I just like a couple names a little bit more. Like, why would I take JJ McCarthy when I can get, you know, Drake May? I'm a little bullish on Trevor Lawrence this season. Justin Herbert's not too far off in that range. So he just kind of finds himself in this quarterback tier where I haven't had a lot of interest. I wasn't necessarily thinking he's that special in college. Yeah, there's been a couple short little signs here, a couple signals that say, hey, he might be really good. And then you add in the fact that, like, it's a great system. I get it. I understand why people like the guy. Again, scary fade for me, but I'm just kind of like trusting my gut, where I'm like, people need to pump the brakes a little bit. I don't think he's a player that's not going to have a job in the NFL, but a lot of people are kind of anointing him as already like a top 12, top 15 option. And for me, I'm just not there yet.
I definitely get that. I absolutely do. But I am those people. I'm ready. I'm ready for it. I really think he can do it. I'm very excited about the potential in this offense. And I think about, like, I understand this is a little bit ridiculous to do because he's not Sam Darnold. I understand he's not Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold had way more playing experience. But like, I just look at what happened with this offense last year. 12th in pass offense DVOA, 10th in EPA per dropback, and their pass rate over expectation, shout out to NFELO, it's a fun resource I like to get that from. They were third. You know, they want to pass the ball a lot and do that thing. And I think that the offense is going to function very similarly. And we did get a QB 9 points per game finish out of Sam Darnold, 18.6 points per game. I'm kind of accounting a little bit for McCarthy not having experience by kind of fading him a little bit back off of that. Like, I definitely do not think he's going to plug and play and be Sam Darnold, But like, you look at this offense and just what he has at his disposal. The three games without Jordan Addison are going to be tough. Obviously, it's not ideal to have, you know, that option not available to you for the first 3 weeks, but he's going to be there most of the season. He's theoretically going to have Justin Jefferson, the best receiver in football, arguably, if you want to say Ja'Marr Chase, different conversation for a different day. Either way, Justin Jefferson's great. TJ Hockenson, also going to be awesome. And I think we're both pretty excited about the backfield as well. I think the thing that I came away with, just ranking the Vikings in general, and even including their defense, I think they're the best team in the NFC. This doesn't really have anything to do with fantasy technically, but like, folks, I'm just letting you know, like, I'm just excited about this team. I think if I'm making my Super Bowl prediction this year, I think I might end up going with the Vikings by the end of it. I just really think Kevin O'Connell is the right man for the job to be able to put this guy in a position to succeed. And it just wheels up for McCarthy. It's an incredible surrounding cast and an offense that I think can support him.
As a Lions fan, it pains me to hear you be so excited about the Vikings here. Definitely think they could be good, but I'm as a Lions fan, I have to say I'm not here for this line, this Vikings hot take, Herms. We're gonna have to just say I disagree.
I will say, for the record, I do believe it's probably going to be pretty close to like it was last year. I think it's the two of them at the top, but I think the Vikings are going to eke it out this year. But hey, that's why we have these conversations. And hey, I think the Vikings and the Lions are close. I think that a lot of these quarterbacks are definitely close, but you know, it's still fun to just kind of crack open our brains and show everybody what we're thinking and why we're thinking it. That's why this has been such a fun pod series to do. We have one more episode coming up talking about the wide receivers, which we will get into next time. So, hey, before we go, go over to ftnfantasy.com. Check out Tyler O's rankings. Make sure that you get yourself prepared. Get yourself ready for your drafts, and we will talk to you again soon. Think about how far we come just to say goodbye. And staying up and sleeping late.